we got revival coming on, right? So if you name them, this is going to be revival song. There's a song on Christian Family Radio, if you listen to that, talks about revival song, where it begins. If we're going to talk about that a little bit, and to start out, let's pray. Lord, we're coming here again before you this evening, Lord, to lift your name up, to glorify you as best we can, Lord. We ask you to search our hearts and stir within us, Lord, that we are doing what we need to be doing, Lord, that we're doing right by you. We praise your name. We ask for you to be in this service this evening, Lord. Stir every heart that's here among us. I ask for you to be with those that's not here tonight, Lord. Just touch them and move upon them as only you can. Again, I ask for you to get me out of the way, Lord, that I can bring forth your word as you would have it. And forgive me where I fail you, Lord. In these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We'll start talking a little bit about my old racing days. I don't know if y'all know much about motocross racing, but motorcycle racing is ability, but you got to have power. Okay? And I remember one time Mike Morgan, some of you local people know Mike, lives up the road here, and he was a real good mentor to me in the racing business. He said, "You need to change that piston in that bike." I said, "Well, that bike feels fine, you know. Bike's fine." Well, I paid attention to what he said, and I done it. And immediately, as soon as I kicked it over, I could tell that motor had been revived. Okay? So the point of it is the importance of the power you need to get a good start, the power you need to get over the jump, and the power you need down the straights to overcome your opponent. And the important thing is, I didn't realize my motor was weak. Okay, you see where I'm going with this? You know, why we need revived? Sometimes we're coming to church, everything's just fine, sitting here, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And we don't realize our motors went flat. Our pistons have wore out. Our rings need replaced. Okay, so the dictionary definition for revival is a recovery, a restoration after neglect. I thought about that on my motor. You know, if I didn't keep that motor up to speed, I'm weak. Okay, it needed revived. It needed restored. You know, he's a motor guy. He knows all about them rings and pistons. Okay, in the Strong's Concordance, my daughter got me one of those for my birthday. Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew, means to keep alive, to give life, preserve alive, recover, repair, etc. In the Hebrew, that's in the Old Testament. New Testament is in Greek. And it is to recover life, to live again. So that's what's coming up in a week. And yeah, we want revival in our community, but it's got to start right here. It's got to start right here, right here, this fella right here. Okay, recognizing our need for revival. Okay, that's the first statement. We need to recognize our need for revival. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 37. Will be verses 1 through 6. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 6 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Okay, that's setting the stage. Do we need revival? Are we dry bones? Where does our life come from? Where did the life come from, these dry bones? God was putting them back in there. He said, "I am the Lord, and ye know that I am the Lord. dry bones in our country, in our churches, in me. We need to check our pistons, right? We need to see if our rings are weak. We had one bike when I was young. We had one bike. The rings were so wore out, and we didn't know. We just rode them. It wouldn't start kicking it. We'd coast it. We'll come find out the rings were so wore out it wouldn't have enough compression to kick it over. You understand that, don't you? Okay. You had it happen too. So you get up on the hill and coast it. But how weak is that? That's where this is going. Okay. Question. Do we need revival? Do we need revival? Okay, you ask yourself that. I'm going to ask me that. Yes, I need revival. I need revival every day. Yeah, it may seem like I'm on top of the mountain right now, and the Lord has blessed me tremendously in the last year. But I need revival every day to not necessarily to stay there, because I'll be in the valley, but to be able to handle that valley when I go there. I'll still have that joy in my heart, no matter whether I'm up on top or down in the valley. So we got to have a revival in our hearts. Even if we think we're on top of the mountain, we need revival. Okay? I thought about David's idleness. I'm asking, did he need revival? 2 Samuel 11:1. Everybody knows about David. 2 Samuel 11:1 says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle," that's key right there, "when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." Okay. Now you got to know what that whole story is about, David's idleness. David should have been with the army. David was supposed to be leading his army. David was idle. David was content. And it put him in a place where he shouldn't have been. And then I thought about Peter. Now I read about Peter in that book of Max Lucado. Peter being Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 29 and through 31. And I wrote down here, Peter, did he need revival? After I read this first statement here, 29 through 31 says, "But Peter said unto him, although he shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in thy wife. Likewise also said they all." Okay. Boastful, confident. I won't do this, I will do that. Is that the state you're in tonight? Is that the state I'm in tonight? If I'm required to do anything for the Lord, and I stand here and say, yeah, I'll do it, yeah, I'll do it, yeah, I'll do it, but as soon as I go out that door, I don't do it. Does Peter need revival right there? Okay. 37 and 38 of that same chapter. "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch for 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Think about ourselves. Is that where we're at? In 66 through 72. "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there come one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, thou also with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest, and went out onto the porch, and the cock crew." And you keep right on. And he done it again and again till in 72. "And the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept." Peter need revival? Next question. Do we want revival? Do you want revival? Do you think you're in a position where you don't need revival? I'm asking myself this too. I don't like this, standing here saying, do you? But do we want revival? I want revival. I want to grow. I want to do whatever pleases the Lord. Because I know He's my only hope. I know He's our only opportunity for heaven. David in Psalm verse 22. Now this is, does David want revival? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhibitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered, and trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But David says, but I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. You think he wanted revival? I think he did. That's where we need to be. And just think of Peter, after denying Christ, in that book that Max Lucado wrote that Miss Patty passed to me. Peter was so overwhelmed with guilt and shame, it says he wept, but he went and hid. You think he wanted revival? Sure he did. Sure he did. And my thought is, don't try to revive yourself. We've seen it happen, ain't we, Dave? Done it, been there. The Lord deals with our hearts. We come up to the altar. We get excited. We confirm that I'm going to do what I've got to do for the Lord. I'm going out these doors right here, right now, and I'm going to tell everybody in the world they need to be saved. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Jesus is coming soon! Then a week later, here I am back. Oh, it got old quick. Yeah, you know.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. See that? That's the point of that skin deep revival. It only lasts till the feeling goes away. That fuzzy feeling we talk about. And that fuzzy feeling's great if it's from the Holy Spirit. I listened to a preacher this morning. I can't remember his name. But he was talking along this same topic. Called it Glorious Sunday and Dreadful Monday. I tell you, folks, I want to be revived to the point where the feeling that the Lord's blessing me with right now, of boldness, and comfort and joy that only He can give. I want that when I go out that door. I want that on Tuesday. I want that on Friday. And that's where we all need to be. Okay? We need to seek true revival. Let's turn to Psalm 23. Now you think David, you've got a true revival here? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that means he don't need anything. He don't want anything. The Lord will supply all his needs. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I think that's one of the most awesome verses in the scripture, because I can go right to that and I can say he's done that for me. He done that for me on a personal level. He restored my soul. I was to a place I thought he had given me up to a reprobate mind. I was into a place where I was hopeless. And that's not a good feeling. That's a feeling you can't describe unless you have it. He restored my soul. And that's what David's saying. He had restored David's soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, we can go out in this world with confidence that God give us the ability to witness to folks. Don't worry about being embarrassed or afraid or whatever. You have the most power that is in this entire everything that God created supporting you. He's behind you. What have we to fear? You think David got true revival right there? Yes, he did. Oh, a little footnote there I found about that. David, he is the most famous person in Jesus' lineage. Okay? Peter. Let's look at Matthew 16:18 for true revival. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter received true revival. So, if we want revival, it's not just going to happen after the 20th. We're going to come here and hear some preaching, hear some encouragement. But let revival start right now. Let it start with us. We'll walk out these doors with boldness and confidence in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And that it won't fade away when we get in our car. Okay? Don't let it be a fuzzy feeling. Let it be real. Let it be deep. Let it be heartfelt. Let it be in that place that only God can go in your life. And every one of you know where that's at. That's the place only you and God know about. Nobody else. You don't even share that place usually with your spouse. Now, we want to get to a place where we seek God before something goes wrong. We're that way. We're just floating along, you know, and then, bang, something goes wrong. Well, I better get over here with God. Okay, let's get to that place where we seek God all the time. He's involved in every minute of our day. Every decision that we make. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Put your confidence in that. Verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Put your confidence in that. Revive. Let us be revived to that point where we can stand on that. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What else do we need? We can be confident on those words right there. Let's go to Ephesians. Everybody knows that's the armor of God, but Ephesians, I'm going to read 6, chapter, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take confidence in that. We're not fighting against John Doe out here. We're fighting against Satan. Okay? So we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be revived to where at this place. Be strong in the Lord. Stand strong. Stand firm. They can't hurt us. They can put this body in the ground, but they can't touch this. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah for that confidence in that. Help us to respond to the stirring of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The Lord stirring your heart, stand up, testify, stand up, testify. You are missing it if you don't. You are missing it. And I know it happened. I've done it. Okay? I've done it. I've said on them a lot. If the Lord's moving on your heart, stand up. Don't worry about this guy over here. If this guy over here has a problem with you standing up and testify, shame on him. Shame on him. God will take care of that. Okay? If you got a testimony, share it. I need it. Stand strong in your witness to others. Witness for what Christ has done in your life. be revived to where you can tell others what he has done for you. And he done that for you. He hung on that cross for you and me. Be encouragement to others. There again, there's your testimonies. Your testimonies encourage everyone in the congregation. Be revived to where the choices you make every day can be led by God. Whether it be where you go, what you buy, what you watch on TV. Because I remember Dave, that bill of goods, and Satan has control of the television, and he's selling us a bad bill of goods. From the real honest to family, ABC Family. My gosh, that's one of the trashiest things on. TV Land. Debbie and I like to watch TV Land, Andy Griffith. But you can't hardly watch the channel because of the advertisements for those smut shows that they've got on now. There again, let us be revived to the point where we make good decisions, to where we let God help us, guide us in our decisions in what we watch. Let the Word guide our lifestyle, not our lifestyle try to guide the Word. Okay? There was a survey a while back. I don't know if I read it in the paper or heard it on the radio or whatever. But it said they polled so many people, and they didn't go to church just because it didn't fit their lifestyle. We need a revival. We need revival. Let your life be a commercial for God. I've heard it preached before. Would you be found guilty of being a Christian if you had to go to court? Stand trial for being a Christian? Could they find enough evidence on you? Because obviously they've got to look at the outward appearance, but they can enough evidence be found against you to find you guilty of being a Christian? We need revival. Luke 6:27. Sound familiar, Ryan? Luke 6:27. That was our Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm going to read 27 through 31. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. We need to be revived to be that person. Yes, we do. Now, I mean for real, not just sitting in here when we're out there sitting in traffic and, you know. We need revival. Be God's salesperson. I borrowed that off of you today. Be God's salesperson. Could you sell God to somebody? We need revival. The church needs revival. Billy Graham, and I don't know if I got it quoted just right, but he said, my faith, trust, and hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. Is that where you put everything? We need to revive to be at that point where Jesus Christ is the center of us, the center of our being, the center of everything we do, every thought we think. John Hagee preached about this morning about a nationwide revival, and he went into detail a lot of the junk that's going on. Okay? So my question is, do we want a nationwide true revival? Do you want that, Greg? Yes. We all probably unanimously vote we want nationwide revival. Okay. Where does this start? Okay. We can start in our country, start in the state, start in the county, start in the community, start in Drift Run Church, start right here in the vote. We're going to have world revival right here in each and every one. Not, You get my point. It's gotta start at home. We need to renew our vows. Let revival start tonight. We're talking about what's coming up here in a week or so. Let's hope whoever's here tonight is revived and ready to be a witness to those others that we hope will come, that we can share the gospel with them, that they can see revival is going on right here, and it started in Drift Run Church in Jackson County, West Virginia, in the state of West Virginia, in the country of the United States of America. It can start. That's how big God is. He can start right there with Jillian and save thousands and thousands and thousands. That's how big God is. So let's let revival start tonight. Tell yourself, it's going to start right now, tonight. Let's go ahead and get a song, and I'm inviting you. If you're not where you need to be, if you think you want revival, if you think you need revival, let's get her started right now. Let's get her started right now. Don't hesitate a minute. Some hesitated this morning, I think. Don't hesitate now. Come.